The sermon you're about to listen to was recorded live at a park in Lilburn, Georgia. Though the sound quality may be less than desirable, it's my hope that the message will still bless you.
Why don't we start off today with a word of prayer? So, Father, as we come together and get ready to worship you and serve you, Lord, I pray that our hearts would still be turned to you, Lord. There's so many things to look at and observe and to notice you, Lord, and I pray that we would notice you today, that you would be strong in our hearts and our minds, and that we would serve you and love you with all that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Well, I want to ask, just a starting off question this morning, how many of you today when you got ready made some choices this morning? How many of you made choices? Yeah, the church, we all made choices. You know, we choose what, maybe you chose what clothes you wanted to wear today. How many people chose the clothes you wanted to wear? Yeah, some of my kids don't get to raise their hands on it. But you chose what clothes. How many of you chose what kind of food you wanted to eat this morning? Right. I mean, we get to choose what we do. We get to choose all these different elements in our lives. We make millions of choices all the time. Life is really a fabric of the different choices we make. Many of the choices we make, they're quite insignificant. They're not huge things, but they accumulate and govern the direction of our lives, the way that we move, the way that we proceed through our lives, are governed by those small individual choices. Every choice really matters to some degree, but some choices are more significant than other choices. Some choices have the power to radically affect the course of our life. We're in a new series right now that we just got started last week. It's a series called Memory Verses. And the idea in this series is we wanted to take a new look at familiar scriptures that we already can know by heart, that we already know how to say by heart. Last week, we looked at the verse 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Today, we're going to look at another one that not only do I have on probably three different pictures, at least in my house, you probably have it in your house as well, but it's the one that the kids are learning for their memory verse right now. It's Joshua 24, verses 14 to 15. The part that everybody knows is the very last part of that memory verse that says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Who has that in their house right now? Who knows that that's on a wall in your house? Yeah. It's just, it's one of those things that we put up, that we respond to, and we know this instinctively, that verse. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But the kids are learning a larger portion than just that, and I want to use a larger portion than just that. So, if you have your devices, if you have your Bible, I know it's windy, we'll do our best here, but turn with me to Joshua chapter 24, and we're going to look at verses 14 and 15. Am I right that that is the kids' memory verse? That's what I'm using, but I was pretty sure that was theirs as well. So Joshua 24, verse 14 to 15. Now I'm going to read out of the NCV. It may read a little different than your translation, but you can still follow along. It says, "Joshua says to the people, 'Now respect the Lord and serve him fully and sincerely. Throw away the gods that your ancestors worshipped on the other side of the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord only. But if you don't want to serve the Lord, you must choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. You may serve the gods that your ancestors worshipped when they were on the other side of the Euphrates River, or you may wish to serve the gods of the Amorites who live in this land. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.'" It's a familiar scripture, right? And the scripture has two main thoughts that I want the kids and the adults to all hear about. There's two main things that happen in this scripture that we want to look at today. And we're going to look at them individually. The first is the idea of choice. And the second is the idea of serving. I want to look at both of those in sequence today to understand a little bit deeper, what is Joshua communicating? As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And what does it mean for us thousands of years later that we would choose to say the same things in our own lives? Is this just something that meant something to them at the time and historically it's important, or is it something that really impacts our lives and that we are supposed to use and work with as we walk throughout our days? And so that's where we want to go today. Israel had a really important decision to make. We all had a decision this morning. We're going to have decisions when we leave here, what we're going to do this afternoon. We're going to have decisions when you wake up tomorrow morning, how you're going to spend your days. Israel right now is confronted with a really important decision. And they're faced with this significant choice, and it's a choice between two things. Does anybody know which two things it are? Any kids know which two things that Israel had to choose between? Yeah, I think that's it. I can't hear it. But I'm going to say between the God that the people in the land worshipped and the gods of Euphrates and all of that, basically the gods of this world versus the God of the universe, the God that made the one true God of Israel. That's their choice. And Joshua says, you must make it. And Joshua's not really given him much time to choose, is he? He says, choose when? Today. Choose this day, right now. And he's looking at them and he's saying, you have to choose. You have to make a decision. Are you going to serve the Lord and follow him? Or are you going to serve the Lord and follow the or serve the other gods of the peoples that are in the land? He says, you have to choose today. And it's an important decision because the decision they're making is going to change the rest of their lives, how they walk from that place, because they are standing in a place, getting ready to move forward, and they have to choose. And the way that they step out from that place, the step they take, is determined by the choice they make. And it's that way in our lives. A lot of these significant decisions, the step you take from that moment is determined by the choice you make in critical moments. And sometimes it's so easy to miss those, to not realize that we're making a really important decision and blow it off and say it really doesn't matter. I'll do it later, or it really, this doesn't impact me. But sometimes some of those most important decisions, I wish they were confronted this way when somebody would stand in front of us and call us to task and say, choose today. This is about this or it's about that, but you have to choose. See, Joshua has two things about the choice that I want us to see. The first is kind of a question. Why does Joshua give them a choice at all? And it's not really Joshua, right? It's God giving them the choice. Why does God give them a choice as to who they're going to follow today? We say the phrase when we become Christians, when we become believers, we say that we made a what to follow Christ? We made a choice or a decision to follow Christ, right? When I baptize someone, I say, because of your decision, because of the choice that you've made, you make that choice. And it's a significant thing, but why do we get that choice? Why does he give them that choice? Joshua is their leader. They're following him. Couldn't he have commanded them, today you are going to follow God. Today, follow God, and if you don't follow God, you're in big trouble. Everybody follows God. Couldn't he have said it? Doesn't the God of the universe have the power to say, everybody serves me? Of course. So why does God give the choice? Because God is more concerned with the love and the care for people than he is with slavery of people that he commands. See, it's love that has to come. He wants us to love him as he loves us, for God so loved the world. He wants us to make a choice that comes from within us. And it can't be forced. Because if it's forced, it isn't a choice. If it's forced, it's some kind of slavery. And when it's forced, then we don't have the love that is suffused from all of us. The love that says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You can be forced into serving someone. You can be forced into doing something. But all it is surface. I'm doing it because I have to do it. God says, I want you to do it because you choose to do it. He because it comes from down within us. Choose today who you will serve. And so what Joshua is telling them to do is to do, let me show you what, let me demonstrate this. Joshua is taking a stick, I'm going to use a piece of chalk, and he is doing this. He is drawing, literally, I drew literally, Joshua's doing it figuratively, a line in the sand. I put a line of chalk down here on the ground for those listening online that have no idea what I'm talking about. There's a line, and he says, decide today, where do your loyalties lie? On this side, is what I want. And on the other side of the line is what God wants. When you give your life to Christ, when you make that choice, and you decide to follow Him, you have jumped onto that side of the line, saying, I choose what God wants as more important than what I want. Before you know Christ, you're on this side. The challenge is, you can't do both. You can't be on both sides of the line, and that's why this decision is so imperative, because it's not, you can't be on one side of the line and simultaneously be on the other side of the line. Choose today who you are going to serve. See, these verses, Joshua 24, 14 to 15, are about an important choice that the Israelites have to make, and an important choice that we all have to make in our lives. And it's a choice that we have to make daily, because it means giving up what we want in favor of what God wants. But I have a secret. I have a spoiler alert, okay? A spoiler alert is that what we want is actually on God's side. We think it's always what we want is on our side of what we want. But what we actually want is what God wants for us, because it is infinitely so much better than what we want on our side of the line. And so these verses are all about a choice, a big one. But they're also about something else. Let me see if you can guess what it's about. All right, I'm going to do some fill in the blank. We're going to have a little fill in the blank game. Kids, can you help me with this? Let's see if we know this. I don't know. This is tricky. We'll see if we can get it. The adults can help out. Here are some quotable quotes. Let's see if we can fill in the blank. You cannot blank both God and money. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot blank, or no one, I'm sorry, can blank two masters. Serve. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. See, these passages are not just about a choice. They're about service. It all has to do with servants and servanthood. In that chapter, those two verses that I read, guess how many times the word serve is mentioned? 7 times in 2 verses. If you continue on to verse 24, if you keep reading through that whole entire dissertation that he goes through, that Joshua is talking to them about that choice that they make, he mentions it 16 times, I'm sorry, by verse 24, 16 times he talks about serving the Lord versus serving other gods. Now, you know my rule, and I hope this is something, if you haven't learned anything else from me, this is a good rule to learn, that when you hear something mentioned over and over in a small passage of Scripture, God really wants you to pay attention to it. It's important. Serve. Service. What he's saying in that is that when he says we want to serve God only, it's like when a servant decides that he wants to go into someone's house and to become that master's servant, choosing to be their servant. And he decides that he's going to be loyal to that master and that household only. In other words, he's not going to also go and moonlight and serve somebody else's house, and he's not going off and working. He is devoted and dedicated to that house. There's an interesting picture of this in Exodus chapter 21. In Exodus chapter 21, there's a part about people who are servants or slaves, as it mentions it there. And it says, if you get a slave, if you have a slave in your house, that slave will serve you for 6 years. But in the seventh year, you must set him free, and he'll have to pay nothing. It says, but what if the slave says, I love my master, and I don't want to go. I don't want to be free. Then the master says he must take him to God. And the master takes him to the door or a door frame. And this part's a little graphic. And he takes a hole punch, an awl, they call it, and puts it up against the door frame with his ear, and then punches the hole through his ear, pierces his ear into the door frame. And this is a sign, what it says, the master does this, and then the slave will serve the master all of his life. It's a symbol that the slave has now decided, that the servant has now decided to dedicate his life to service for this master. So, what does it mean then to serve? If the slave has decided, the servant's decided to serve his master, what does it look like to serve? Well, in the Old Testament, the word serve that he says, that Joshua says over and over and over, the word serve that's used throughout the Old Testament means to be devoted to be dedicated to, the idea of having your ear put up against the doorpost and having the awl driven through it to show the sign of, I have crossed over this line and I have chosen, I have made a decision, and it's not a decision I've made lightly. This is for my life. The decision for the life of the service. And so we make this decision, and now they're devoted to their master. So what Joshua is saying when he says, serve the Lord, you have to decide today whom you're going to serve, is he says, you don't get to serve both. You remember that there's a very important word that he puts in there. He says, serve the Lord your God only. You know why he says that? Because there's this temptation to serve both. To serve God and to continue serving the other people's gods as well. And to kind of have this hodgepodge mix of lots of different gods. And he's saying very clearly, you have to choose. You cannot serve both masters. You cannot make both choices. So what does it mean to serve the Lord? It means to be devoted to do what is required of you, whatever the master desires. Now, there are many regulations in the Old Testament. There are many rules to follow. How many kids know that there are rules that you have to follow? No kids know? Oh, that's too bad. Ah, there's one. There are lots of rules. How many adults know there are rules you have to follow? Yeah. You follow, like we make choices every day, we follow rules every day. When I leave the parking lot today, I have to follow the rules of the road. When I go out and interact with people, I have to follow the rules of society, the rules that the law sets out before us. We have rules, but we have a choice as to whether or not we follow them. Now, there are many rules, there are many regulations, but those are not necessarily the desires of God. Those are the things that we need to do, that we should do what is good and proper and right. But those aren't necessarily the desires of God's heart, the desire of the master. Desires of God are listed very succinctly and very clearly in the book of Micah. In the book of Micah, the prophet, speaking on behalf of God, he says, and he has told you, O man, what is required of you? What does the Lord desire? And there are four things. He desires that you would do what is right to other people. He desires that we would love being kind to others. He desires that we would live honestly. And he desires that we would obey God. To do what is right to other people. To love being kind to others. To live humbly. I said honestly, I'm sorry. To live humbly and to obey your God. Now, I want us to see what service to God looks like in the life of the only one who was able to serve God completely in everything he did in the life of Jesus. Look at these things in the life of Jesus. To do what is right to other people. Did Jesus do what was right to other people? Yeah. To love being kind to others. Did Jesus like being kind to others? Was Jesus mean to others? No. Jesus loved being kind to other people. What about living humbly? Who knows what living, the kids, you know what living humbly? What's humble? Oh. Yeah. Flip that around. That's it. Putting God first and putting ourselves below. That's exactly right. Jesus even says, he says, this is the reason why I came. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Did Jesus obey God? Yes. You guys remember your memory verse that you knew the last time? Do you remember your previous memory verse? What did it say? It was from Hebrews, right? Was it not Hebrews? Oh, Philippians, right. Okay, you guys remember it? How did it go? No. It talks about that he obeyed God completely. He humbled himself and obeyed God completely. Was obedient even to death on the cross. So here's the interesting part. When Jesus talks about serving, when the apostles talk about serving, when Paul talks about serving others, did you know it's not the same word that they use in the Old Testament? It's the same word in my Bible. It's the same word in your Bible. It says serve. But did you know it's not the same word originally? It's two entirely different words. It's not even the same part of the same word. It's two completely different words. The word in the Old Testament meant to be devoted to, right? The word in the New Testament means to minister to others. When it says the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, it means he came to minister, to serve other people, to take care of them, rather than to be taken care of himself. Jesus was very clear. It's all about service. It was all about humility. It was all about sacrifice. In fact, in the book of Mark, in chapter 10, verse 25, Jesus says these words, if I can find it. No. Oh, 45. Sorry, I can't read my own handwriting. He says, yeah, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. That was the verse I was already saying. I was already saying it. Sorry. He frequently used servants as subjects in his parables, and he modeled the behavior that he wanted us to do. That passage, do you remember in Mark when he's talking about at the end of time when the Son of Man will come back? He says he'll come back in all his glory, and he'll come back as the king, and he'll separate as a shepherd separates sheep from goats, and he says he'll put the sheep on his right, and he'll have the goats on his left. And he'll separate them out. In fact, I'm going to try to turn there and read that really quickly. This is in Mark chapter 25. Oh, Matthew chapter 25. Thanks. It's really hard to read my notes. Verse 40. Here we go. He says, the king will say to the people on his right, to the sheep, come, my father has given you his blessing. Receive the kingdom that God has prepared for you since the world was made, because I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was alone and away from home and you invited me into your house. I was without clothes and you gave me something to wear. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. And the people will answer and say, Lord, when did we do these things? When did we see you in any of these places? And the king will answer, I tell you the truth. Anything you did, even for the least of my people here, you did it for me. What is done for the least, the hungry, the thirsty, the poor, the needy, the outcast, the alien, the sick, the prisoner, what is done for the least of these, when we serve others, when we minister to others, when we give to others, it is as though we're giving, serving, ministering to the Lord. So what I'm saying is that it's a two-pronged attack. Let me show you. In the Old Testament, to serve God is to be devoted to Him. In the New Testament, to serve God is to minister to others. So one could say that to be devoted to God, we must be ministering to others. That's our way of serving Him. The only way for us to serve God is to serve others. You see, it's not only who we serve, it's also how we serve that matters. Serve the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. But wait, it's not serve, is it? It says love. Love the Lord your God. See, love as a servant is demonstrated through action. It's demonstrated through service. See, the only way to show love for God in this capacity is through service to others. And in doing so, to serve God. This is the way the servant cares for his master. Words are good, but it's actions that truly show our devotion. As the saying goes, you know, actions speak louder than words. So our devotion to God, our ministry to others, is summed up by Micah. To do what is right to others, to love being kind to others, to live humbly, and to obey God. This is how we serve God. And it's also how we love God. You see, it sums up both of the parts. Do what is right to other people. Love being kind to others. That's New Testament service. Live humbly and obey God. That's Old Testament service. It's all summed up in that idea that by being devoted to God is by choosing to serve other people. Joshua chose the Lord. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Who will you choose? If you've never given your life to Christ, then this is the first and most important choice. Is to choose to step across that line and say, I no longer want to live for myself. I want to live for God. I no longer want to go my own way. I want to go the way of God. But if you stepped over that line, if you've made that choice, if you say, I've chosen to follow God, I've chosen today who I will serve, then you have to choose daily how you will serve Him. So what are some of the ways that we can serve the Lord? Psalm 100 verse 2 says, serve the Lord with what?
Gladness.
Serve the Lord with gladness. What's gladness mean?
Happiness.
Service, a lot of times, when it's done out of requirement, when it's done out of force, If somebody says, you have to come and do this because it's the right thing to do, and you need to do it, you remember, it's a choice, not a demand. When you do service out of a demand, are we always really super happy about that? No, not usually. But when it's a choice, when we're choosing to serve the Lord, we need to think about our internal emotion, our internal meter. Are we smiling from the inside outward? Or are we just kind of putting on a happy face and going, okay, I guess I'll do this as long as I have to? Serve the Lord with gladness from the fullness that's in your heart. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, it says these words. In chapter 5, 13, it says, brothers and sisters, God called you to be free, but don't use your freedom to do as an excuse to do whatever you want. Instead, serve each other with love. That's it. The whole law is made complete in this one command. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. There we go. Yeah. It says, if you go on hurting each other and tearing each other apart, be careful, or you'll completely destroy each other. So how can we serve God? By having a happy attitude. How else? By loving other people. And then in 1 Peter, he kind of completes the cycle. I want you to hear this part. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, it says, the time is near when all things will end. So think clearly and control yourselves so that you'll be able to pray. Most importantly, love each other deeply. Okay, keep track of that. Love each other deeply, because love will cause people to forgive each other for many sins. So we love, and the love will cause us to forgive. Okay? Open your homes to each other without complaining. Uh-oh. Who's ever complained? You know, me too. Open your homes to each other without complaining. Each of you has received a gift so that you can serve others. So be good servants of God's various gifts of grace. Anyone who speaks should speak words from God, and anyone who serves should serve with the strength that God gives you, so that, and here is the crux, and here's where we'll close, so that in everything God will be praised through Jesus Christ. Joshua says, choose today who you will be devoted to the God of the universe or to your own desires and the gods of the people that are here. And Jesus says that we came to serve by ministering to the needs of those who were poor, those who were outcast, those who were without, those who were hurting, those who were needy, those who were downtrodden, those who had been displaced, those that were in prison. He said, I came to minister to those, to declare the year of Jubilee. I came to serve other people. And in doing so, he served his Father in heaven completely. He was the model of service through service. And that's who we're supposed to be. Service through service. We minister to others, and in doing so, demonstrate our dedication to God, and in doing so, lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you for your love, for your compassion, for your grace, and your mercies that are new every morning. We thank you that we have an opportunity not to just serve a God out of order or out of compulsion, or to serve out of force, but instead to serve out of choice and out of love. And God, we thank you that you loved us first, that you loved us before we even knew who you were, that you loved us while we were still sinners, while we were still set apart from you, that you were willing to send your Son into the world to die for us so that we could be saved. And Lord God, I pray today for anyone that's listening that has not heard that there was a choice, doesn't know that decision, that you would just work in their hearts, that they would be confronted with that choice. Choose today who you will serve. And for those that have made that decision have chosen that we will daily lay ourselves down and take up your cross and follow you. So God, we give you the honor and the glory. I pray that you would bless your people. Fill their hearts with gladness and with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.